Hey ladies, welcome to today's session. It is of course module 2 of the Client Magnet. Super excited to be here with you. Do me a favor and press star 2 on your telephone keypad or click the raise hand button and let me know that you can hear me before we get started. You should have that on your control panel on your screen. Okay, some hands going up. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. If you haven't put your hand up yet, get it up anyway, because we will be bringing you on shortly for live laser coaching. So keep that hand in the air. See some of you putting your hands up and then taking them straight back down. If you haven't got your hand up, get it up there, because we want to get you on and help you to break through whatever's going on for you. Excellent, excellent. Okay, so I'm going to dive straight into the content today as usual. Let me just adjust my screen so I can actually see it. Wonderful. And we're going to dive straight in and get through it as quickly as possible so that we can get you guys on. Do make sure that you take notes, note down any questions that you have for me at the end, and go through that workbook either during the call or afterwards. You can re-listen as many times as you like. Something that's just been brought to my attention by one of our lovely ladies is that if you are trying to join by Safari, you won't be able to join by web calls. So you do want to use Google Chrome for that. I wasn't aware of that, just found out myself, literally just as I was about to jump on the call. So thank you for that. And please just be aware of that if you find that you're having to dial in when actually you don't need to. So here we go, Client Magnet Module 2. This is mastering your message so that your audience will be in total awe of you and won't be able to resist engaging with your post, signing up to your list, and buying your bloody stuff, which is the important thing, right? So quickly, before we do that, I want to just have a really quick review of what we did last week. So we're of course focused completely on nailing your niche. If you haven't got that sorted yet, please do put the focus into that, because what happens is you move on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And because you haven't got that sorted, nothing else will really gel that well. So put all of your effort into getting that one thing resolved if you haven't yet. And again, if you need to bounce it back to me, then you can do that and we'll deal with that in office hours. And the whole point of doing that is so that you can, first of all, understand who you are best positioned to be of expert service to, how far you can get people, what that one person really wants more than anything. And the whole point of that solution statement, it's not necessarily to share anywhere, although you can use it to share in certain places. But really, it's about giving you a really clear guidance system for all of your future content. So that every piece of content you write going forward, you can look at that solution statement and say, have I actually stuck to this thing that I was supposed to be talking about? Does my post, my content, my email, does it relate well to this solution statement? If it kind of does, but it's not really gelling up properly, then you can just do a little bit of work to join the dots so that people can understand how it actually meshes together. Okay, so that was the whole point of what we did last week. This week we are getting into actually using that guidance system to create awesome content. Okay, so why is messaging so important? Well, because first of all, you can't transform anybody's life or help anybody if nobody knows about you. It just kind of goes without saying. If people don't know about you, then they won't come to you and you won't be able to live your purpose. And I know that you want to live your purpose, just like I wanted to live mine. And it's bloody frustrating when nobody's paying any attention. And the thing is that even if you're really super visible, even if you're posting 10 times a day on Facebook or in groups or on LinkedIn or on Twitter or whatever, nobody will discover you if your message isn't heard. And that means that you can be the most visible in the world and still be completely invisible if your message isn't strong. And weak messaging is really the number one reason that offers, ad campaigns, sales funnels, emails, everything else fail. That's the reason why things fail. It's the reason why webinars don't get attended. It's the reason why people don't open your emails or don't click through. It's the reason why people don't buy your stuff. It's because your messaging is weak. Trust me on this, I've been there. Okay, so if you get this right, or rather when you get this right, you will be able to create your expert reputation, which is freaking awesome, because it means that people are actually looking at you and seeing you as an expert, as the person who can solve their issues. It builds your visibility like crazy. So you could be posting 10 times a day and be completely invisible and go to posting one time a day and become hugely visible because the stuff that you are putting out there is so much more powerful. And it takes you out of the realm of just being an inspirer or an information provider and into the realms of being a real viable solution. So that expertise really gets recognized and people start to think, well, actually, I could invest with this person and get these results. And that's the real difference in powerful messaging. So why do so many people get it wrong? Well, it's pretty simple, really. First of all, they don't understand the psychology of getting another human being to pay attention. So they write these long, lovely posts and things, but they don't actually know how to make anybody stop and read them in the first place because they haven't mastered the art of getting people to pay attention. They don't understand that the psychology of getting another human to care. So you have to be able to write in such a way that people actually give a shit. Otherwise, they just get halfway through and they're like, oh my God, same old, so bored. Onwards and upwards. Also, they don't understand the psychology of getting another human to believe. And this is really interesting because, you know, there are a lot of coaches out there, particularly doing what I do, who are out saying, you know, I'm just going to completely go crazy here, but saying like, oh, you can make $100,000 in 6 weeks if you, you know, with no advertising and know this and know that. And people actually, very often, they don't believe those claims because they're just not reasonable and people aren't doing enough to back up their claims. I'm not saying that they're lying. They may be, they may not. I have no idea. But they're not actually demonstrating the type of evidence or the type of stories that actually help people to believe that what they're saying or what they're reading is true. And if you can't help people to believe that what you're doing is true, or what you're saying is true, then you're just wasting your time, okay? And to some point, it has to come down to faith because there is only so much evidence that you can give people. You can give them testimonials and things like that. But in reality, they have to be able to believe you. And there are ways to help people to see the truth in your story so that they can actually feel that they are believable. And that's not to con them when they're not believable. We are talking about telling the truth, but it's about helping them to understand that it's the truth. And also they don't understand the psychology of getting another human to act. So it's all very well if they read it, but they don't act. So those are the key reasons why people get it wrong. So let's start thinking about how to get it right. The first point is, of course, that you have to get attention, because what's the point of writing an amazing, powerful, transformational message if no one ever reads or hears it? Hang on a minute. I'm a bit confused. Hang on a minute. Oh, my goodness. My slides are wrong. Are they? I don't know if they are or not. Okay, I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go with it. And if I need to change it later, then we'll change it. I don't feel like it's right, but it's okay. It's cool. People who desperately need to hear what you say could miss out if you don't get attention. And perfect clients-to-be may never discover you at all. And that's the thing. That's the thing that really spurred me on to get results in my coaching business, was knowing that there were people out there who needed what I had to offer. And yet, they didn't know about me. They needed my help. They couldn't find me because I wasn't out there. I wasn't being visible enough. And not because I wasn't trying to be visible. I was everywhere. But my messaging wasn't powerful enough. Okay, so what do you message about? This is really, really important. And very often people say to me, well, if I just have this really narrow solution statement, then how can I constantly be churning out messages day after day after day when I only have this really narrow scope of people to talk to and things to talk to them about? And it's actually really easy, and that's why we created your solution statement in the first place, because actually that guidance system will give you a wealth of ideas that you can post about, and they're absolutely, it's virtually limitless. So take your solution statement, and I've written an example here. It's not my solution statement. It's kind of a variation between what I used to do and what I do now, but I just picked it as an example. I know a lot of coaches start out helping people out of a job and into a business. So this is what I've decided to use as our example. So the example is, I help professional women who are struggling in a well-paid job that they hate and instead want to build a profitable coaching business that will replace their current salary and provide complete independence. It's actually not my solution statement, but I do that with a lot of people because a lot of people come to me while they're still stuck in the job that they hate. So, thinking about professional women, I can think about being that professional woman. I can think about being stuck in a job that I hated and wanting to get out and build a profitable coaching business. And as a result, I have so many examples of stories of things that I could tell about that time. So I could message about the time that I disagreed with my boss. I've probably got at least 50 of those stories that I could tell. I could tell about the time that I got dragged into a pointless two-hour meeting. I've got lots and lots of those that I could tell about how, you know, what was going through my mind at the time, how bored I was, how pointless it all seemed. Whatever it is, whatever was going on, I can actually use the details in that story or in those stories to write posts. I could message about the time that I hoped I'd crashed my car so I didn't have to go to work. Anybody ever felt like that? Because that was an absolute truth for me. I used to drive to work and think if somebody would just crash into me, because I didn't want to crash into them because that would be my fault and I might hurt somebody. But if somebody would just crash into me, it would be their fault and I'd have to go to hospital. I'd get at least a week off, maybe longer depending on how badly injured I was. I mean, I didn't want to be hugely badly injured, but I wanted to be off work for a little while. I could message about the times that I stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning to put off tomorrow. And the fallout of that, how many times I went into work. And I would just tell these stories one at a time, but I would talk about, you know, the fallout when I got to work and something bad had happened and I wasn't really compass mentis enough to deal with it because I'd been up till 3 o'clock in the morning, possibly drinking wine till 3 o'clock in the morning as well, because I used to do that quite a lot when I was in my job that I hated. So there's some stories that I could tell. I could tell about how I hoped I'd get shingles. That was my answer for everything. If I could just catch shingles. I've never had shingles in my life. But everybody at work used to go down with the stress, with the pressure. They would catch shingles. And because it was really contagious, that was it. And very painful, of course. That was it. They were off. And they'd be away for a week, 2 weeks, who knew? And so I was obsessed with the idea of catching shingles because it would mean that I would have to be off work. It wasn't even just like I've been signed off the sick. It was like I'm contagious. I was really, really excited about that. I don't know how I would have managed it like from a day-to-day perspective in my normal life with my kids and stuff. I don't really know how contagious shingles is with kids and things. But that was my mindset. So there's something else that I know that women who are stuck in jobs they hate, they think about getting ill. They love they kind of hope that they wake up with some kind of illness that will keep them off work. Nothing serious. They don't want to die or anything. They just want to be off work for a while and have a real genuine reason to not go. I could talk about the times that I spent my weekends working, when I should have been at home with my kids, when I should have been doing stuff with my family, when, you know, whatever it is, I could talk about all the times. And there were dozens of times that I spent my weekend working. And I know lots and lots of professional women who do that same thing. And when I talk to the previous version of me, that's the kind of thing that I would talk about. I could talk about times when I missed something important, like birthday parties. I miss my own child's birthday party because of a work thing. I miss my anniversary dinner because I was called in to work. Lots and lots of times I've missed really important things because I was in this job that I hated. I was putting that job up above everything else. And I want to be clear that sometimes this was me feeling that I needed to do that as opposed to me being sort of coerced into doing that. And it's also about getting to that feeling as well, because that professional woman in that job she hates is really going to resonate with the fact that she feels like she has to do all this rather than somebody necessarily putting pressure on her to do it. She's putting the pressure on herself. And I could talk about the times that I talked myself out of leaving because I needed the money, which, you know, I'm pretty sure virtually everybody in that situation will be familiar with, or most people in that situation will be familiar with. So those are all of the types of things that I could message about. And that's not even exhaustive. I mean, you could go on and on and on. And then every single time I would turn it around to the positive, to the desire that that person wants. So I would talk about, you know, a little story about the horror of that particular story, about living through that. And then I would turn it around, and depending on what it was talking about, I would say how having my coaching business means I have the best boss ever. So I'm my own boss. Never have to answer to a horrible boss again. No more disagreements. I'm the best boss ever. I could talk about the fact that I never have to sit in pointless meetings anymore. Or I could talk about how, you know, I no longer wish to crash my car because I love going, in inverted commas, to work. I could talk about how I don't stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning drinking wine anymore because I'm knackered on a night time because I've had such an awesome day. I'm in bed by 10 o'clock, tucked up, sleep like a baby, and jump out of bed at 6 a.m. in the morning. Can't wait to get started. I could talk about how the idea of getting shingles is no longer very exciting to me. And actually, I hate to be ill, and I very rarely am ill. I think in this entire last 12 months, I've had a cold once. And I don't think I've had anything else wrong with me at any point during the last 12 months. One cold. And even that was only like a couple of days and it was gone. Because I very much believe in the fact that actually we make ourselves ill. And things like stress can actually make you ill. Physically ill as opposed to just emotionally ill. I could talk about the fact that I never have to work weekends. Awesome. Never feel obliged to work weekends. Never want to work weekends. Happy days. I could talk about how I never miss anything important anymore. How I decide how my time is apportioned, when I want to work and when I don't want to work. And that's why I never miss anything important anymore. Or I could talk about how I never worry about money anymore and I don't have to rely on a boss for a salary. So each of those different scenarios, I can turn them all around and write really compelling messaging that speaks to my ideal client. Okay, so what if though I narrowed my niche down even further and said that I was going to work with working mothers? So I help working mothers who are stuck in a job they hate and want to replace their salary with a coaching business or whatever it was that I said. So now all of a sudden, on top of all of those things that I could have written about, I can now add things like missing school plays. So, you know, missing the Christmas nativity or, you know, whatever, you know, the school musical or whatever it is. I could talk about how I missed my child's starring role because I was stuck at work. Sports days, another thing that parents very often have to miss. Meetings, so parent-teacher meetings, you know, parents' evenings where you go and see how your child is doing. I've missed so many of those when I was still working. It was unreal. Poorly children, a very, very emotive subject for working mothers. First of all, doping them up and sticking them in school because you know you've got to get to work. Second of all, sitting at work hoping that they don't ring you and tell you you have to collect them. Or on the flip side, hoping that they ring you at work and you go, well, I'm sorry, but I've got to go. I haven't got any choice. So depending on how you look at it, there are lots of ways that the poorly children thing comes into it. And also it can cause family unrest. So, you know, kids get something like, and it's to be honest, we in the UK are very lucky, which I never thought we are. But it turns out that the kids in America have the most ridiculously long amounts of holidays. It's ridiculous. But our kids here, they get 13 weeks. Plus occasional days here, there, and everywhere for teacher training. So 13 weeks of holiday that you have to cover. And you're like, well, you have to be off because I can't be off. Or the kids are being sent home from school because they're ill. You're going to have to deal with it. And it causes all this animosity between partners. So there is a whole new host of things that I could message about to that same person. And what if I narrowed my niche instead of working mothers? What if I went for female managers? I mean, I could go for both if I wanted to, depending on how I decided to set up my solution. So if I was talking to female managers, then I could talk about the dramas of dealing with staff absence, which usually ends up in the manager working twice as many hours because people aren't in. Employee dramas, again, usually leads to you working lots more hours because they want to sit and chew your ear off about it for ages. And then they need to go because there's something going on with their families. And, you know, these are the kinds of things that happen when you are a manager. We could talk about performance issues. You know, there's nothing that I can think of that is less fun than dealing with a performance issue with one of your staff. And when you are in a job that you hate and you really just want to be at home building your coaching business, it really makes it 10 times worse. We could talk about staff training, again, a huge headache for managers, team resistance, you know, when people are pulling against you. So all these additional things that I could suddenly message about if I decided to go in for management people. Then I could also share stories about times I didn't take action because I was afraid of failure, afraid of judgment and criticism, afraid that I wasn't enough, afraid of rejection, embarrassment, you name it. all of these lots of different things and different stories that I can come up with. So I just think of one particular time when I was afraid of failure and I share a message about that. I think of one particular time when I was afraid of being judged and I share a message about that. Then I think of another time when I was afraid of being judged and I share a message about that, and it goes on and on and on. And new things are cropping up in your life all the time, for yourself, for the people around you, for your clients, all of which can be used as fodder for messaging. So that is how you can create a wealth of messaging from one simple solution statement. Obviously, it has to be relevant to your business, to your solution statement, but pick your solution statement apart and brainstorm every possible thing that you could possibly write about, and then start to pick out all of the individual stories. And you don't have to do it all at once. It's nice to get a head start when you're first starting this and, you know, pick out lots of great ideas. But in reality, you don't have to write lots of posts at once. I write one post a day. It takes me about 20 minutes. Every single day, I spend 20 minutes writing a post, Monday to Friday. And that's it. Who can't spare 20 minutes of their time to write a post about something that happened to inspire and motivate and help somebody who is reading it? And this is the thing that I want to really hammer home for you, because I haven't actually put this in the slides, and I should have done really when I think about it. When you write a message, I want you to sit down and think of it that that message could be the message that changes somebody's life forever. That message could be the message that makes somebody realize that they need to take action now, as opposed to not taking action. That message could be the most powerful thing they ever read. And when you approach it like that, not from like, how can I fill my coaching practice full of clients, but when you approach it from, how can I give the most powerful messaging to my tribe so that people that need to hear it can read it, can see it, and can feel it, and can then respond to it, then it makes your messaging so much more powerful, because it's no longer about just fulfilling your needs. It's about fulfilling other people's needs. And I tell you what, when I do something for my children, for example, I give so much passion to it because I love them so much. And that's not to say that I don't love me so much. I do. Okay. I am totally up on the self-love. I think that it is amazing. But there is something about giving to other people which makes it so much nicer and so much more powerful, and you just feel like that person needs more than you do, and so you just give them that much more. So really approach it like that, because it is so important. Okay, so you've heard me say this before, we're going to talk about the actual structure. When you write your post, just write your story, but then you want to fit it into the structure, because the structure is what makes it compelling. So the first thing you do, you tap into that human need, the human psychology of getting attention, okay? How do you get attention? You have them at hello. So do not underestimate the importance of your headline ever. If you've heard this once from me, if you've heard it 10 times from me, listen again. Because the more you hear it, the more it will impact you and change your thinking. So be obvious. I cannot say this enough times. If you want to say to somebody that they're wasting their time, you have to tell them what they're wasting their time on. If you want to tell something that they're never going to be happy, you've got to tell them what they're never going to be happy with. If you want to tell somebody that you can do, that you can improve their mindset, you have to tell them what they need to improve their mindset for. Whatever it is, you have to be really obvious, because people, we are bombarded with information. You have to be so specific that people can see it and say, I need to know about that. Because if it's generic, people will just scroll past it. Think about yourself surfing Facebook. Think about how much stuff you just scroll past because you ain't interested, because it's not speaking clearly to you. So be really, really obvious. That headline is the prime piece of real estate on your entire post. Make sure you make the very most of it. Be very, very obvious. Say the opposite. I've literally just live streamed about this afternoon. Really do say the opposite of what everybody else is saying, because, you know, there are so many people out there saying the same damn things in your industry, whatever industry you're in. If you're a relationship coach, you can find love. There is the perfect man out there for you. Whatever. If you keep on saying that, people are just going to, you know, yeah. It just becomes a bit blasé. If you can turn around and say you're never going to find the man of your dreams, Now that's going to get some attention. Because when you say something inflammatory or downright offensive, it sparks people's curiosity. They are either offended by it, upset by it, angry about it, or just damn curious. And they can't resist seeing what you have to say. So, if you, like I say, if you turn around and you say, you'll never find the man of your dreams, or if we really want it to be offensive, we could say something like, and prepare yourself for this, because I'm going to be really harsh, we could say something like, you're too ugly to find a man. Now, that is really going to get somebody's guard up. But here's what you do. Oh, how goodness, man. My stuff is all mixed up. Okay, so here's what you do. Being offensive or inflammatory with your headline, it doesn't mean that you have to be a bitch, okay? First of all, make sure it's 100% relevant to your content. Always turn it around to the positive. But the magic phrase, the thing that I use that I absolutely love, is I say, you're too ugly to find a man. Obviously, this isn't my niche, but this is what I would say. You're too ugly to find a man or to find love. And then I would say the magic phrase, that's what I used to think when I was single and dating and nobody seemed to want to be involved with me. So I'm actually saying something really offensive to make them read it, to make them look at it rather, to make them pay attention to it. And then I'm saying to them, actually, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking about me. But here's the real power in that statement. The real power in that statement is that the thing that you have said is the thing that that person is thinking inside of themselves anyway. You just gave a voice to it. And because you gave a voice to it, they're going to listen to you. Now, you do not be a bitch. You do not write some long meandering post about how they're too ugly to find a man. You just open with that line and say that that is what you were thinking. And obviously, if you're not a relationship coach, then this isn't this actual headline isn't relevant. But you have to think about how you can apply this into your business because it's so powerful. And whatever it is that your client wants, turn it around and say they can't have it. Say they can't get it because of some fear that is inside of them. And when you give a voice to that, people will not be able to resist reading. And then when you share your story and they realize that actually you're telling a story that is so pivotal to them, that actually describes how they are feeling, then they are going to absolutely love you. So let me go back because I was getting a bit confused there. So here's some examples of how I use this in my business. And I want you to think about how you can use it in yours. So I'll say things like, you'll never make it as a coach, because I know there are stacks of coaches out there on Facebook thinking, how the hell am I ever going to get any clients out here? And I say, you'll never make it as a coach, or you'll never sign any clients. I say, you have no chance of standing out as an online coach, because I know that this is a huge fear for people. They're trying and trying and trying. They're doing everything that they can think of to get visible, and they can't stand out because it's too busy and their message isn't powerful enough and their niche isn't nailed enough. I'll say, no one's going to read that post, that message you just posted, because I know that's what I used to think. I used to press the button. I used to think nobody's going to read that. Nobody's going to read it. I've spent all the time writing it and nobody's going to read it. Or I'll say, your audience doesn't know you're talking to them, because it's true. Very often the audience doesn't know you're talking to them because you're not being specific enough. But all of these things, they're actually triggering people. And that is the key. The key is you trigger them long enough for them to read the message so that once they start reading it, they can be transformed by it. You don't trigger them just for the fun of it. You trigger them because if they miss it, they miss out on the opportunity for transformation. And that is, it's just sinful. You should be kicking yourself if you are not doing everything you can to help your perfect clients to find you. Because they need you. They need you so badly. Okay, so that is that point. So, like I said, make it 100% relevant. Don't put a title up there and then not make the story about it. The story has to relate to the title. Always, always, always turn it around to the positive. We had a conversation last week. I think it might have been on this call, on our call last week, where we said that sometimes people are pushed by pain, and sometimes they're pulled by pleasure. And somebody had implied that more often than not, we are pushed by pain. I actually don't think that's true. I think that there's a combination. I think that the people who are ready to invest are very often pulled by the pleasure more than pushed by the pain. I think you have to have that desire more so than the oh my God, get me away from the pain. But the pain is still very, very real. So I always share both. I always aim to share the pain and the pleasure in the same post. And remember to use that magic phrase after an offensive headline so that people don't wind up hating you. But you know, even if you do draw a bit of criticism, it's not the end of the world. Use that blah, 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 that's what I used to think when, and people cannot get mad with you about that headline once you say that. Okay, so sharing your stories. Why do we share our stories? We share our stories because people buy why you care before what you do. And that is so, so crucial. Clients, they will buy from people who will like them and who they believe understand their situation. And who have, you know, who they see has actually gotten over what they were struggling with. And they trust your stories more when you are vulnerable, honest, and not wearing a perfect facade. This is so important. For ages, I was so hung up on like being perfect. And I wouldn't have dreamt of getting out on live stream, because if I got out on live stream, then people might see that I'm a real human being and I really make mistakes and I really trip over my words. And sometimes I can't remember what I was saying and blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter. People don't care. People don't care that you're perfect. In fact, if you're perfect, it's off-putting for people because they start to think, well, I could never be like that because I'm not like that. They like people who are like them. So when you get out there and you are real and genuine and personable and you tell it like it is, in however is right for you, that doesn't mean that you have to swear. It doesn't mean that you have to say things like I say them. You have to say things like you say them. Not like you're writing an academic paper or a textbook, but like you see it. Speak it like you see it. Tell it like you see it. Tell it like you would tell it if you were just having a conversation with somebody. Because those are the times when people really start to believe what you are saying and to understand that you are a trustworthy person. Oh, I've got itchy nose. Okay, so key things to remember when you're sharing your stories is tell them one at a time, okay? Don't try and tell your entire life story in one post. All those different ideas we just generated for that solution statement before, each of those would just be one individual story. You just pick out one time that you had a disagreement with your boss and you write that story and nothing else, just that one single time. And when you write that one single time that you had that disagreement, you know, you turned around, you do that. And then a couple of weeks' time, you can write another story about another time when that happened. But you want to do it just one at a time and, importantly, in as few words as possible to convey the message, okay? I am the worst person for writing long-form posts. But when you write something that is long, look at it, see where you're repeating yourself. Oh, I've got a super itchy nose. See where you're repeating yourself. And actually take out what doesn't need to be there. Say to yourself, what does not need to be here? You want to put in enough to give the tangible details, the physical struggle, and the emotions. And that is all that you need to put in there. Do not be repeating yourself over and over again. Tangible details that really help people to believe and to paint a picture of what you are talking about is to share things like dates. So the month and year. Places. So whereabouts were you? Names. So if you can use... Sorry, my nose is absolutely going crazy. So what does that mean? It means I'm going to get mad with somebody, doesn't it? Whew, hope it's not you guys. Okay, so dates, places, names, if you can share the names of people. You know, if you're talking about your husband or something that happened with your husband, then share his name if he's okay with it. Or if you're talking, you don't have to share like his whole name, just like his first name. So you might just say, like, I was talking to John and he said, you know, I was talking to my husband, John. Or you'd say, I was talking to my boss, Andrew, or whatever. So names are also really useful, and numerical data if it's relevant. So if you're doing anything that, you know, you're quoting any percentages or statistics or anything like that, people love that. We don't know this stuff. Great. Awesome, Jackie. I'm not entirely sure what we're talking about. Yeah, so numerical data, include that numerical data. Oh, sorry, you don't know about putting this in. Yeah, it's really important. The physical struggle, so tell them what was happening. Detail the physical struggle, not in hundreds of words, but give them some detail. Give them some juice. The slide's out of order. Oh, yes. Okay, cool. And then give them the emotions. Tell them how you felt about what was happening, okay? Really, really important. Tell them how you felt about it, because that's so important, because that is the thing that really will resonate with them when you say, when you talk about the emotions that were welling up in you. So if we talk about, and I'm just using this because it's current in my mind, but if we talk about leaving your kids at school when they're poorly, or taking your kids to school when they're poorly, then you talk about the guilt, because it's so, it makes you so guilt-ridden. We all know that. You know, if any of us have ever dropped our kids off poorly, then we know what that feels like. And if you haven't got kids, well, cool. But whatever your situation is, you'll be able to talk about those emotions in a way that will really, really resonate. Okay, finally. Not finally at all. I don't know why I'm saying finally. Next part is to join the dots. And this is super important, okay? You've shared your vulnerability. You've shared the struggle. You've shared the pain. Now you have to show them why you are the expert. So join the dots. Turn it around. Demonstrate what good came from the struggle. Demonstrate how different things are, how whatever it was you were struggling with, you're not struggling with now because you overcame it in whatever way you overcame it. And that is how you demonstrate why you are the expert who can really help them. And that's the thing that they're interested in. Now, at that point, you don't say, I am the expert who can help you. You're actually just demonstrating how you turn things around. And you can maybe just give a little couple of pointers if it feels relevant to your post. Really, really crucial is to never convince. Don't speak to people who aren't ready yet. And this is something, I was just on a call the other day with somebody, and they were saying, I even have been yesterday, actually. They're saying, I don't want to work with people who aren't ready yet, who haven't started down the path, who haven't even thought about it yet. Well, here's the reality. The people who haven't even thought about it yet, they're not going to invest anyway. So don't waste your time talking to people who need to be convinced that there's a problem in the first place to be able to take the action to change. You want to speak to the person who's already decided that they want to change. You got to speak to the person who's already decided that they want that desire, because that is the person who will take action. So look at your solution statement and think of your perfect client in that moment when they are so ready to turn things around. Talk to them at that particular moment, not 6 months before, not 6 months after, not when it's kind of an idea in their head but it hasn't really happened to, you know, it hasn't really formulated yet. Talk to them in the moment when they know. And what happens is when you speak to the people in the moment when they know, then the people who aren't quite ready yet still read those posts, but they read them and they realize that actually you're talking to people, and this is more of a subconscious thing than a conscious thing. They realize that you're talking to people who already know, who already want this, and actually that you've already done this, and they're starting to think, oh my God, this is actually a possibility for me. And however long it takes them to get there, because you keep on messaging and because you get them on your mailing list and get them into your community and do all that good stuff, they're actually listening to you talking to people who are ready, and they're gradually getting more and more ready themselves. So you talk to the people who are ready, makes the people who are ready take action, which is key, but it also makes the people who aren't ready start to think about how they can get ready, and they start to move closer and closer to working with you. If you have to convince people to turn things around, then they are not ready. And if you message them in that way, the people that you will get on the phone will be the, I'm not ready, I can't afford it, which actually means I'm not ready. I need to think about it, which actually means I'm not ready. And you don't, you just find it wasting your time. So never, never convince. Always talk to people who are ready. And when you're talking to people who are ready, there should be very little need to use words like need, should, you should be doing this, you need to be doing this. There should be very little requirement for you to do that. And avoid being overly authoritative as well. You want to just sit back and demonstrate. Talk to your stories in a way that will resonate with them, and just demonstrate. Demonstrate what you did, demonstrate what you changed, and make offers or don't make offers depending on what kind of post it is. Speaking of offers, calls to action, here we go. So there are different ways to call people to action. You can ask them a question, make it really low effort, really easy to answer, just to promote some engagement. Why do we want engagement? Well, first of all, it bangs our post back up to the top of the list, back up to the top of the newsfeed. If somebody puts a comment on, bang, you're back at the top of the newsfeed. Somebody else might see it. you know, they might come in, bang, you're back at the top of the newsfeed. So make your questions very easy to answer. Don't ask for long, complicated answers. Ask for something really, really easy. As people get used to reading your posts and feel more inspired by them, they might give you longer comments anyway. But initially make the questions very easy to answer so that people can answer them quickly and easily without giving them much thought, and bang, you're back at the top of the newsfeed. Then you can respond to them and elicit more conversation after you've gotten that original comment. The initial comment is the catalyst for everything else thereafter. If you want something stronger, you can put some kind of opt-in. You can invite them to join your community. You can invite them to download a lead magnet, to join a challenge, to join a webinar. Whatever it is that you're doing, you can ask them to opt in. Again, make it really, really relatable, and relatable to your content, but also super relatable to your ideal client's position, and really easy for them to hand over their email address for. You're putting all this work in, you might as well make it really easy for them to give you what you want. And then a harder call to action would be a call. Invite them to a call. I'm going to talk about calls in a couple of weeks. I'm not going to spend a load of time talking about this today. Oh, something just popped into my ears. but the key is to make it a no-brainer, irresistible, as easy as possible to say yes to offer or call, okay? Everything that you do, you want to make it easy, easy, easy. Because people get easily distracted, and you want to capture them as quickly as you possibly can before something else takes their attention. Okay, images with impact. So this is really, really important as well. And, you know, people go off and they download stock photos and they try and make really cool images and really exciting and write their own motivational quotes and all that palaver. Don't bother, okay? Just put your headline. So the thing that we wrote right at the start, your inflammatory, you'll never find a man because you're ugly, or whatever it is that you choose to use, in big, legible font on a plain background or unfussy background, okay? You don't need any posh stock images. People are bored of these things. You want something that they can see quickly and will grab their attention. One of my clients tried, she sort of sent me one for review, and it was just a blue background, and it just said yes. And I said, well, it's too obscure. Well, what does yes mean? It doesn't really mean anything. So, and what she was actually saying is, it was something around saying yes to everybody else and saying no to yourself. And I said, but okay, but you need to say that, because people will just skim past it because it just says yes and it doesn't mean anything to anybody. So use your proper headline with the very obvious, very specific headline in big legible font on a plain background. If you can put your image on there, all the better. I know that some of you are uncomfortable with using your own images. Seriously, if you want to get known, if you want to be visible, if you want to build an expert brand, put your image on there. People will start to realize that when they see your images, that it means that it's your message, and your message is good stuff to them. It means you will get better people, more people reading, more people engaging, better results in general, because people are used to seeing you. They like what you write and they read it. Add your branding or your web address, of course, if you are allowed. Okay. I say if you're allowed, and it really depends on the groups that you are in, but I would be very cautious of groups that are so strict on promotion that they won't even let you have your web address on a picture. I know that there are groups like that that exist. It's entirely down to you whether or not you decide to use them. I think that when the group leaders are that strict that they are trying to stifle your business, and I might think twice about using their group, unless you are in a very niche industry that doesn't have a lot of options in terms of groups. And there are still ways to get around that, and it's cool, but I would look for groups where you can at least put your web address on your images. And some branding, you know, feel free to use some branding as well. You want your images to be obviously, clearly, and easily identifiable as you. And you want that headline to stand out a mile, make it nice and big and legible so that people can't miss it. Because that is, just like your headline is your prime piece of real estate, so is that image. That's the thing that everybody sees. Okay, when does this not work? Because sometimes it doesn't. So let's talk about when it doesn't work. It doesn't work when your headline is non-specific or it's very samey. It won't work then. It doesn't work when you don't share details on your story because people don't believe it. So if your headline is non-specific, you won't get the attention. If you don't share details, people won't believe it. When you share too much story, so you're trying to share your entire life story, people will get bored and lose interest. When you don't join the dots, people will not see why you are the expert. When you don't make easy offers, people will not act. And the other thing that is really off-putting is when you show up like an amateur. And this is a mistake that so many people are making. So let's just have a look. This is our last segment before we go into questions. So get ready with your hands up in the air. So let's look at the pro versus the amateur. So the pro shares specific, relevant advice, specific to their solution statement to their perfect client. The amateur, on the other hand, shares general advice. This is how to be happy. This is how to have a better mindset. This is how to create goals. This is how to take action. This is how to overcome imposter syndrome. This is how to, you know, very, very generic stuff that isn't really keyed in to that ideal perfect client. What else does the pro do? The pro shares her own expert opinions, okay? She's not regurgitating somebody else's stuff. She is sharing her own expert opinions based on her own stuff. The amateur, on the other hand, shares other people's opinions all of the time, constantly. And it's just not inspiring whatsoever. It doesn't connect with people and it gets them nowhere. The pro shares their personal experiences. So key, because that is where your why lies. People hear your why in your personal experiences. The amateur, on the other hand, shares other people's motivational quotes, other people's email, other people's blogs, other people's articles, other people's videos, other people's stuff all of the time because they cannot come up with enough of their own stuff. Or they'll create a motivational quote that somebody else hasn't put their branding on it. I know, I used to do it all the time. Waste of time. Don't bother. So, as a result, the pro winds up shining so brightly as an expert that the perfect clients in those Facebook groups reach up. They reach up to you because you are the pro. You don't have to reach down to them. They reach up to you. And that is what being a pro is. When you act like the amateur instead, even if you are super, super active in a group, you're kept in obscurity. Because your stuff, the stuff that you're sharing, is not unique. It's not your stories. It's not your experiences. It's not your very relevant, very specific advice and opinions. And so as a result, when you are being that person in a Facebook group, you spend all of your time reaching down to people, trying to engage people in the hope that somebody somewhere will decide that they potentially have some kind of connection with you and will ask to have a conversation about working together. You wind up having to be a total social butterfly. You're liking and commenting and liking and commenting and spending hours because you're not showing up as a pro. And the biggest problem with that, even bigger than having to spend all that time in those groups trying to like and comment on everything, the biggest problem is that most of the people in that group who are perfect clients for you are not posting. So all those posts that you're liking and commenting on, that's not the majority of the people who are actually needing your help. The people who actually need your help are mostly the lurkers who are just sitting reading what's being posted. And that is why it is so, so important to share your expert advice, opinions, and personal experiences. Okay, so that is us for today. It is time to get some ladies on the phone. I am starting with, I don't know who this is because I haven't wrote your number down. If your number ends in 241, this is you. Hello.
Oh, hello, that's me.
Hello. Who is it?
Hello, it's Jen.
Hi, Jen. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thank you.
Excellent.
You're sounding very well.
I wasn't sure
you could actually hear me.
I can hear you now, yes, because I've unmuted you.
Ah, that'll be why then.
What can I do you for today?
Well, I didn't make question time last week, so I'm glad we've sorted that out now. I've gone in through the phone.
Awesome.
I guess my question is, I am not my ideal client.
Okay.
So the stories that I have, and I have to say, you nearly had me in tears with the whole crashing the car thing, because
yeah.
I've been there, done that. You know, if I just break my leg, then maybe I won't have to go to work, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So how do I join the dots that, you know, I have stories, but they're not necessarily relevant to the stories that my ideal client might have?
Okay.
To sort of help them.
Okay. So who is your ideal client, Jen?
My ideal clients are busy ladies and gents who are in demand. They're at the top of their game. Everybody wants a piece of them. And they know that by taking care of themselves, they maintain that level of performance.
Sorry,
so, yeah, they're having their time
down.
Out.
Just bear with me.
Okay.
Everyone needs a piece of them. And they need to what? What did you say they needed to do?
They need to, so self-care is their priority.
Okay, got you.
And they actively seek out self-care, which helps them to be performing at the level that they perform at.
Okay, and what makes you the expert in this position?
I think that's probably where I'm struggling. My results have worked.
Okay.
Them coming to see me, because I have to say, I'm not your ideal client because I'm not a coach.
Okay, that's cool. What do you do? Tell me what you do. I know that we've done some stuff before, but I can't quite remember. Ah, yes, okay.
So I massage really busy people. So, yeah, their results. I mean, a lady at the weekend, she won 2 West Midlands Woman of the Year.
Wow.
And she's been seeing me for a couple of months now. So I could
have
a hand in that.
Awesome. And have you always worked with these type of people, or is it that you've worked with a number of types of people and you decided that these are the people you like best?
Yeah, the last bit. I've worked with a number of people, but these are the ones that I like working with because their confidence and the progression that they make is what floats my boat.
Okay. Why?
That's my passion. Oh, I don't know. It makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Okay. No, it's all right. To be honest, I never asked the question why, but I thought I would just give it a go. just for fun.
Because I'm supposed to.
Oh, okay. Tell me what it is about it that makes you feel warm and fuzzy.
Because they're elevating themselves. It's about helping people on their journey, for want of a better word.
Okay.
And the stuff that they do, this lady who won on Friday, for instance, she helps ladies who are survivors of domestic violence, FGM, human trafficking, all of that sort of stuff. So the impact that she has is bigger than the impact that I have on her.
Okay.
Does
well,
that
you
make
help
sense?
Her to show up like that.
Yes.
Yeah. It makes lots of sense. And I love it. I think it's absolutely awesome. So what I would do if I was you is I would share their stories in as much as you can. And you may need to get their permission if you want to get really detailed. But I would share their stories. So I would share how, you know, what caused them to need the self-care, or what their situation is that made them decide to prioritize the self-care. And I would ask them to do some interviews with you, you know, say like, would you spare me 10 minutes to share a little bit about why you take the time out to do this every however often that they do it?
Yeah. Okay.
And get some of their stories and get their permission to use their stories in your marketing. Most of them will be very, very open to it. I wouldn't worry about asking them. The majority of people are. And they might say that, like, please use my first name or something like that, which is cool.
Yeah.
As long as you're not sharing really in-depth personal details about them, they'll probably be absolutely cool with it. I would use their stories, but I would also be looking to get in touch with that part of you that really feels inspired by helping people to show up at that kind of level as well. Because that's your why.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people will buy okay. into, is the reason why you want to do that. So you share their stories as evidence of what you can do, but you need to share something about your why as well.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah. I'll do some work on, I'll do some work on my why.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you just do the massaging? Or do you offer any guidance around any kind of self-care coaching, anything around how to take better care of themselves in general, anything like that?
Yeah, it's completely evolving. The last, I would say the last 6 months, it's, as I've started to realise who I like to work with.
Yeah.
The whole thing has been evolving, and it's not just about having a massage, it's about you know, talking therapy, so a lot of the time they come in and we have a good 20-minute chat before I actually get my hands on them, and then I do that, and then we have a little chat afterwards, so half the appointment is actually just them talking to me,
okay,
and saying, well, this has happened, what do you think, and that kind of thing, because I work quite a lot with their spirit guides. So it's very intuitive.
Uh-huh. So you might not be a coach right now, but it sounds like your business may be evolving that way.
Yeah, well, that's why I thought, you know what, I'll stick with you. Having seen you speak, and I would not have known that you had confidence issues last year, that you were having problems.
Oh, my God. I was terrible.
I would not have known that.
Jen, you were at the Mumpreneur and Female Conference.
I was.
Oh,
I was.
My God. How amazing is that? Oh, my God, Jen. Goodness, yes. I was in the throes of disaster at that point. Goodness me. I was just really good at showing up and putting on my face and playing the game and then going home and crying a little bit. But you know what? I always say to everybody, whatever shit you have to go through, it's actually that's that thing that will make you a better coach, a better woman, a better mom, a better whatever it is that you're doing, it's the thing that makes you better. And I actually think that I had to go through all that shit to be as good as I am now and to be as good as I'm going to be as the time goes on. So I don't regret it even in the slightest, tiniest little bit. I think it's all just part of my awesome backstory now.
Absolutely. And you were absolutely amazing. I remember you so well.
Thank you so much.
Well. So that's why I
I'm really
you.
Touched. That's really awesome. Do you know, I hadn't clicked, and I think you've mentioned this before, but this is the first time that it's really clicked in my head. That's cool. That's really, really cool. Awesome. Is there anything else I can do for you today?
No, I think we're good. I was just thinking, I've got loads of stories. You know, you mentioned the car crash seemed to just unleash a whole load of stuff, but it is just about making it relevant.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
It's always better if you can work with a previous version of yourself, but if you really can't and you really have a passion to work with somebody else, then you have to make their stories into your stories.
Mm-hmm.
All righty.
Lovely. Thank you.
Awesome. Fabulous speaking to you. Okay. Jen, if you can start too and pop your hand down for me, please. And next we are going to the lovely Spencer. Hello, Spencer.
Hi.
Hi. We've spoken a lot.
Yes, we have.
How are you doing today?
Great, thanks.
Awesome. What can I do?
So I have one question just kind of on timing and schedule of things. I know you've said before about how you only do one post a day and you do kind of a rolling rollout of that. But I'm curious, do you ever recycle posts? Like, do you, you know, after you get like 6 months through or something, do you pull any of them back out? Or if you're really stumped one day, or is it, do you think it's important for you to always have something current, like current currently relevant to what's going on with you and your business and your clients.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. Okay. People talk about repurposing content all the time, and I can completely see the reason for doing it. But here's what happens to me is I'll pull out a post from not even 6 months ago. I could pull out a post from 3 weeks ago and I won't like it anymore. And I'll look at it and I'll think, well, I'll pull that out and I could change that. And by the time I've changed it, I've actually rewritten the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
And so I actually find it easier to create new content every day than to go and try and rehash something that I wrote a while ago. That said, I do use a scheduler for my own group and for my own group and for my Facebook page and for LinkedIn and Twitter and stuff, which just literally recycles content anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So if I wasn't writing enough content for some reason, like let's say I took 2 weeks off and hadn't wrote 2 weeks worth of content before I went on holiday, then it would start to recycle old content while I wasn't putting any new content out. But that very rarely happens because most of the time I am putting out content every day because 20 minutes a day is neither here nor there for me. It's a personal choice. If you find it easier to repurpose your content, then do it. Personally, I find it really difficult to repurpose and really easy just to write new stuff.
Okay, great. And also, just since you mentioned your scheduler, what do you use?
I use Meet Edgar.
Okay.
Which is slightly more expensive than some of the others, but that recycling thing, particularly for, so while I say that I don't really often recycle my stuff on Facebook because I'm usually ahead of the game, when it comes to like Twitter and LinkedIn, like I'm really not. So that keeps me active in those places because it just churns stuff out all of the time, irrespective of whether I'm creating content or not, which is great for me.
Okay, perfect. Okay, great.
Does that answer that question?
Yep, thank you.
Awesome. Did you have another one?
Actually, I have one kind of technical question. I probably could just look it up or get some guidance elsewhere, but if you have a quick answer to it, recently set up my business Facebook page, like for what will be SpencerSnaker.com, which is different than my personal one, which includes my middle name and is just more geared toward personal stuff. How do I switch, like when I'm joining a group or when I'm posting in a group or something, I'm thinking I need to maybe unjoin some of the groups I'm in with the personal membership and then request to rejoin as the business one, but I can't even figure out how to switch.
Yeah, you can't. So the reality is that when you post in a group, you post as your personal self.
But
that the only people that see those posts are the people that are in the groups.
Okay.
So when you post as yourself in a group, your friends and family won't see that, if that makes sense,
right.
Because they're not members of the group. The only people that see that are the members of the group. They don't need to be friends with you to be able to see that, so they will see it.
Uh-huh.
You know, the people in the group will see your post, even irrespective of whether they're friends of yours or not, but people outside of the group will not see your post.
Okay. I was thinking more from the perspective of like, I was thinking more from the perspective though of like branding and stuff, and I was kind of hoping it would tie back to the business page, but I guess that makes sense that it doesn't. So like right now my personal page is a picture of me and my husband. I probably should change that maybe then to something that's more clearly me, so when I'm posting it's more recognizable.
Ideally, but I don't think it's that crucial, to be honest. I don't really think it's that important. I think the key things to do is to make sure that your business is listed on your personal profile.
Okay.
So if you go into your about section of your personal profile, you'll be able to put on your job title, where you work. So when you do that, you put, you know, the kind of coach you are, and you can say at Spencer how do you say your surname?
Snakered.
So you say at SpencerSnakered.com or however you're gonna brand that, and then that will actually set that up as a link to your Facebook page. So actually people will go there and they'll be able to hit that link and it'll take them to your Facebook page.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
I haven't at the moment actually, but I did used to use my cover photo on my personal profile to promote my group. So that's something that you can think about doing as well. So I used to have my cover on my Facebook page, my personal page rather, my personal timeline was actually an advert for my group. So that if anybody came to my personal profile from a group, the first thing they would see is come and join the Fearless Women's Circle.
Awesome. Okay, very good.
So that's something to think about as well.
Okay, great.
All right. Is that everything I can do for you today?
Yep, that's it.
Awesome. Fabulous speaking to you. Okay, Spencer. Oh, you've already got your hand down. That was quick. And now we're going to the lovely Sue. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Jo. How are you?
Hi. I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I think the dogs are going to bark. I've got bring your dog to work day here at the moment.
I bring my dog to work every day.
I've got two of them. But so they might join in a minute, so apologies.
No worries.
I'll shove them out the door if they do. I was just thinking, you know, when you're talking about headlines and getting them at hello.
Yeah.
And talking about the sort of offensive headline.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can you turn it around and say something like, do you want to know what I used to say to myself? Or I know what you're saying to yourself. And then say something like, I will never be able to move on in my life. Or does that not have the same impact?
What do you think?
It probably doesn't have quite the same impact.
It doesn't. The reason that it doesn't is that your headline actually now says, I know what you're saying to yourself, but it doesn't say who you're talking to anymore. It doesn't say, again, it just falls into that realm of obscurity. You're not actually talking about anything. You're just saying, I know what you're saying to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so nobody sees how that is specifically geared to them. This is the thing. You don't have to be offensive. You don't have to be. It depends on how big a splash you want to make. It depends on how many people you want to read your posts. It depends on how much you want to impact people.
Yeah.
Offensive is just a way to do it. There are other ways to do it, but those are the most effective ways to do it.
Yeah, and I do get that. I suppose I think with my niche, it's such an emotive niche. I don't want to kind of, you know.
So what if I was to say something like, your life will never have any meaning without a baby.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, because actually what I would be saying is what they're thinking anyway.
Yeah. So you say your life will never have any meaning without a baby. That's what that woman is probably sitting there saying to herself anyway.
Yes.
She's going to see that. She's going to go, oh my God, is this woman for real? Then she's going to click continue reading and she's going to see, your life will never mean anything without a baby. That's what I was telling myself in August 2015 when I gave up on my attempts to have a baby. As soon as you say that, you've taken away the offensiveness of the statement.
Okay.
You've moved from offensive to compassionate. You've moved from offensive to resonating, but you got them to look.
I get that, and I get how powerful it is as well. So and I think, like you say, as long as you don't sort of put in too many sentences or go off on a long spiel, it's really just a one sort of liner, isn't it, just to get
it really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my thoughts on it are always that if I don't hit them with something impactful, they might not ever read it.
Mm.
And if they never read it, then I have zero chance of transforming their life with that message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point.
But you have to do what resonates for you.
Yeah.
I am not saying this is the only way. I am saying this is what I have found to be the most effective way.
So do you, with all your messaging, do you do that, put those sorts of headlines in, or do you just pick and choose?
I'm getting more and more offensive with everything that I write, I think, because it makes such difference, and I'm surprised at how much of a difference it's made.
Okay.
And, you know, I would do it like occasionally and sporadically, and then I started noticing that the posts that were getting the most engagement, that were getting the most comments, that were getting the most likes, that were getting the most results as a, in terms of opt-ins or in terms of people booking calls were mm-hmm. the ones where I really was quite offensive. And mm-hmm. I started to think, I'm onto something here.
Yeah, definitely.
I literally believe that it's just because it makes them look.
Yeah. And it's a case of the reverse psychology sort of thing, isn't it?
You're
saying something that they're not expecting you to say.
And nobody else is saying it. That's the thing. Now, the thing about your niche, I don't know how much competition there is for what you do.
Not much. Yeah.
Sorry, carry on saying what you were saying. There is competition.
There is, but there's not a lot.
Yeah. So you may find that you don't have to be so offensive to get them to look, because actually there isn't really that much competition for what you're doing anyway.
Yeah, okay.
When you find those right groups, find your groups, have a look and see what people are saying. And if everybody's saying, you know, you can't have a life after you know, failing to make a baby, or however people word it. If everybody's saying that, then you have to turn it around. If nobody's talking about it anyway, then that's a different matter. Then you probably won't need to be offensive.
Yeah.
Or inflammatory.
Yeah, I'm sort of finding that people aren't particularly talking about that. I think women find it very difficult to talk about childlessness anyway.
Yeah.
To actually suggest that there is, you know, life after not having a baby is almost like unheard of, even though I know from being on forums and being in groups that people are looking to move on. They're not generally sort of talking about it, because it's almost like we shouldn't really be saying that, because we should be so stuck in our own grief and our own inability to reproduce that we can't even, you know, wouldn't even dare talk about moving on after that. You could be right there. So I guess it's a case of just sort of, you know, putting some posts and messages together and just seeing what response I get.
Yeah, and like you say, if there's not a lot of people talking about it anyway, then that will make it much, much easier for you. But still be specific. Even if you don't go offensive, be very, very specific in your messaging, particularly in that headline and the image. Just a quick question for you. Do you already have a Facebook group?
No, I don't.
Okay, there's something you just said there, and you said life after.
Yeah.
And if you can come up with a word for that comes after that, like non-motherhood or something like that, I think life after whatever would be an awesome name for a group. I've never had somebody say something and instantly thought that is a fantastic name for a group, but it really is. Might want to consider that.
Excellent. I will do. Thanks for that.
If you can come up with a word that kind of, you know, that kind of takes care of that, you know, life after no baby or whatever. No baby, because that was rubbish. But you know where I'm getting. You know where I'm coming from.
Yeah. But like you say, life after is the actual, you know, the thing that would draw people in as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that. That's great. I've written that down.
You're welcome. Anything else I can do for you today?
No, that's all. Michelle, I can't wait to get going, actually.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff. Okay. Yeah. Lush talking to you. I'm going to pop you back on mute. If you can start to and lower your hand, or not start to, if you can just press the button and lower your hand for me. And next we have Lisa. Hello, Lisa.
Well, good morning. Hi there.
Well, good morning. How are you doing?
I am doing well. I woke up early enough to get on this call today, so that's nice.
Awesome.
Yeah. I wanted to go over a few things with you that I was going over from the Module 1 workbook. That's about the nail the niche.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder if I could just read to you a bit about what I wrote in the what is going on for you section, because I can't always tell if what I'm thinking of is kind of laser enough and really pinpoints what she's struggling with.
Right. Okay. Just give me 2 seconds. I'm just going to pop a blank document on my screen. I'm literally just going to try and type it when you say it, because I like to look at it rather than just listen to it. So go on. You go.
Okay. So the one tangible outcome she wants more than anything. She wants to feel successful in her love life, so she stops thinking of herself as a failure in love.
Sorry, I'm not like a 40 words a minute kind of girl. Stops thinking of herself as a failure in love, yeah?
Yep.
Okay, that's her outcome. Great, next.
Okay, so that is tangible enough?
Feels successful in her love life, so she stops thinking of herself as a failure in love. What would make her feel successful in her love life?
Probably a long-term committed partnership with somebody she loves and adores and feels really loved by.
Long-term committed partnership. That's tangible. Someone she feels
loved and adored by. Yeah.
Okay. I would say that that is her outcome.
Okay.
That is how she will feel successful in her love life. That is the tangible. So the outcome isn't to feel successful in her love life. The outcome is to have a long-term committed partnership with someone she feels loved and adored by,
okay,
which then winds up making her feel successful in her love life.
Got it. Okay.
Make sense?
It does. Yep.
Awesome.
And then why she wants it so much. She's bright and has a lot going for her, but she's also lonely and doesn't let down or let go enough. She doesn't necessarily know she wants this, but she wants...
Hang on. Slow down. Bright and has enough going for her.
Yeah, a lot going for her, but she's also lonely. And she doesn't let down or let go often.
What does that mean, let down or let go?
So I work a lot with women who are, like, in charge.
Uh-huh.
And that feeling of being able to just kind of surrender, you know, just, like, let go, not have it all together, not be in charge, not be running everything.
Yeah, okay, got you. Cool.
And then I wrote this because this isn't something that she's necessarily thinking about, but then when she gets it, she's like, God, how did I ever live without this? She doesn't necessarily know she wants this, but she wants to surrender.
Okay.
And she needs a strong male to relax into.
Yeah.
She also wants someone to go on vacations and romantic getaways with. She wants to feel cared about and looked after.
Okay, cool. Loving that so far. Completely get it. I was actually that person not all that long ago, just a few years ago. So completely understanding all that.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I think it's pretty endemic around us career girls.
Yeah. Okay. So that all sounds cool.
Okay. So I guess So should I do other ones or no?
Say that again. Sorry.
Should I read the other ones? Because I didn't listen to the whole call yet on this subject, but I'm guessing that I want to get this stuff down so that I can really laser my message to
That's
the.
That's exactly point. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So can I read the next one? The impact of not achieving.
You can.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. She's lonely, even though she won't often admit that.
Yeah.
Her body is stressed. She doesn't sleep that well.
Can I just stop you for a second? Yeah. Is she not admitting it to herself? Is she not admitting it to others? Or is it a case of both?
Often she's not admitting it to herself. And the reason for that, and I think this ties in maybe to the messaging, is that when these women have, like, they have a lot of success, so they, you know, all the things that go with success, you drive a car that you like, you eat at nice restaurants, you know, you shop, you wear, you know, like all of that, it's like this cover for something that is kind of missing, that she just doesn't want to admit to or give a lot of attention to, because then she wouldn't feel successful, and she likes feeling successful.
Yeah, absolutely. Got you.
So kind of like what I'm speaking to is, this is where it's like there's this whole under layer where her heart is really not being touched. So there's this part of her that's kind of like living above her heart. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So she doesn't admit these because she, if she did, she'd feel like a failure in the significant part of her life.
Yeah.
And then also, I mean, obviously the impact of it is that she's single, but I don't know if that's more of a result than an impact.
Yeah, I think the impact is probably more the way she feels about being single.
Okay.
I think the key things here when it comes to writing messaging about this,
yeah.
is this a former version of you, Lisa?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. So I think the key thing is to, even though she might not be, she's aware of the fact that she would like a partner, I assume. That's what she wants. She wants that committed relationship, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. But she might not, you said that she might not be admitting it to herself. She's got, you know, she's got all the trimmings of a successful life, so she's perhaps not noticing that she's missing other things necessarily that are related to that relationship.
Yeah, that's where she and I are different. I mean, that piece is probably not true with every single woman I work with. It is true with maybe a percentage of them, and that part wasn't really my story.
Okay, what was your story?
So here's the thing, I'm just going to say this, that, you know, right now I am actually in the dating world. So my story isn't, you know, I struggled and struggled and struggled, and then I met the man of the love of my life and da, da, da. I've been in very amazing, significant relationships, but I got out of the last one a year ago. So a lot of my messaging these days is to women who are in the dating world talking about how it doesn't have to suck.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
The one place that I sometimes feel a little tricky is I don't yet have that tangible, like what I talk a lot about is, you know, dating can be fun. It can be really romantic. Blah, blah, blah. And I talk about how the journey is as important as the destination, because most people are so hung up on, when am I going to meet him?
Yeah.
So my story is, I've had some really great relationships. I'm not in one now, and I'm dating.
Okay. Can I ask a personal question?
Absolutely.
Why did you end the last relationship?
Because we were really good friends and really good partners in life, but we were not good romantic. It was not a good romantic connection.
Okay.
And we also.
Sorry, how long did it take you to figure that out? Or was it a good romantic connection and then it fizzled out?
No, that was never center. That was never front and center. And I think I was for a while just thinking that it would come online and grow. And then the longer I started to realize it wouldn't, the more I started thinking about transitioning.
Okay. And previous relationships that you feel were really strong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the story with those?
What's the story with those? Well, they're all actually kind of different. I mean, I would say, you know, it depends how far back I go, but I would say that there's always been some degree of really great fit in some ways, and mm-hmm. then some way that just really did not feel like a fit.
Okay. So do you feel comfortable with this outcome that you're helping people to get, or should it be more around enjoying the dating game and seeing it for what it is and using it to find a man rather than actually, I suppose it's kind of the same thing, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what stops them from even, like, a common complaint that I hear is, you know, they're busy, their life is full, they can't even imagine going online. It's also about, you know, they have all these beliefs that they're not going to find a peer, they're not going to find a man who's really going to support their success and not be threatened by them. So I do feel like I like helping women kind of turn around their dating experience.
Yeah.
And along the way, you know, they do things that I teach, which is be more relaxed in their body, be more connected to their feminine, be good at communication, all those things.
Yeah, got you. Okay. So you said that this wasn't your story when we talked about having all the trappings of success. You said that wasn't your story?
Parts of it. The part that's not my story is that when I have not been in relationship, I haven't been telling myself, oh, I don't really need a man. When I'm not in relationship, I'm either like, well, I'm taking a break right now, or yeah, I want to get back in relationship. So I'm that okay. Part of it. Yeah.
Okay. Have you been in that position where you've had all the trappings of success but not felt successful because you were missing the relationship?
For moments, yes. Yes, for moments.
Okay. So I would share those stories because that's going to be really powerful, particularly for the women that aren't necessarily recognizing that.
Okay.
When you start to speak to that, they will start to recognize that that is going on in them.
Mm-hmm. I guess the thing for me right now is I feel like I have more juice in the story when I'm talking about what's present. And like what's present right now is I'm in the dating world and sometimes it sucks. Like I actually was just writing a post because I really feel like I need to talk about that sometimes it does suck. But for the most part, in comparison to how most women are like really resistant to it and don't want to do it, my whole story has been, here's how it doesn't have to suck.
Yeah. Okay. So are you being completely open with your audience about the fact that you are on that journey now?
Yes. Very transparent.
Awesome. And are they enjoying it?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought they might. I think it's really interesting to take your audience along on that journey with you. Do you have a solution statement, Lisa?
You know, no. And I would love to work that out with you because I mean, it's something like I help successful single women. Here's what it's been. I help successful single women who are tired of, I've been saying striking out, but I don't really like that. Who are tired of striking out in love. And instead want, I'm not sure what they want instead in a concise way. A partner who loves and adores them, maybe.
I want to. Okay, so just bear with me a second. I'm just quickly typing myself a little thing so that I'm sorted. Enjoy. Okay, so successful single women. Is that how they would describe themselves?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Are tired of striking out in love. Are they tired of striking out in love or are they just avoiding it altogether because they don't know how to handle it?
Well, it's kind of like they're actually just struggling with the whole thing of love and relationship.
In what way?
So a lot of them either they were in a marriage and the marriage, you know, kind of produced the kids and all that. And a lot of them say some version to me of, I don't want more of that. You know, like I don't want to do that again. And then, I would say that they're struggling with it like a lot around, you know, the communication piece is big. They don't know how to, kind of not boss him around. Let him lead, talk about what their needs are, you know, be the girl. So they're struggling with like the whole kind of like, how do I do this relationship thing?
So are they actually trying to have these relationships?
Yeah, some of them are. Definitely some of them are. Yeah.
And if they were to identify what was wrong with the relationship, what would they say?
Well, most of them complain about, you know, they're in the dating world, but they're not meeting men that they like, or the man is interested for a while and then he's less interested. They're the men there. Yeah.
Okay. So they're struggling.
I could just say like with not meeting their match, who are struggling with it's like some version of not meeting their match.
Okay, who was struggling to meet their match.
Yeah.
And instead want to enjoy the dating world and create a long-term committed partnership.
And a partner who loves and adores them.
And say that again, sorry?
Instead want a partner who loves and adores them.
Okay. Do they want to enjoy the dating world? Did you say that before? Have I just made that up?
they want to enjoy the dating world, but ultimately they want to find a partner. I think enjoying the dating world is something that they want, but ultimately they're in it, you know, to win it. They want a man. If they're going to...
Well, you know what?
Huh?
Sorry, carry on. Sorry, I thought you were finished. We've got a slight lag here.
If they're going to date, you know, they definitely want a man. It's like, yes, they certainly want to not be so uncomfortable dating, but they don't, like, I talk a lot about, you know, yeah, I don't mind dating, but I'm not dating just for the sake of dating. I have done that, but I'm not doing that now.
Okay. So I think that statement is completely strong on its own. I help successful single women who are struggling to meet their match and instead want to find a partner who loves and adores them.
Great.
You couldn't get much more specific than that.
Okay.
You could say struggling to meet their match in the dating world so that we're clear that they are actually dating.
Uh-huh.
Trying to date.
Okay.
But really, I think as a statement, I think it's as specific as anything.
Okay.
If you wanted to get even more specific, you could be more precise about how, you know, what's successful about them. You know, are they professional? Are they corporate? You could do that if you felt like you wanted to,
okay. But
you may not need to.
Okay. Okay. And then am I using this statement like when I introduce myself or at the end of my signature? Like where is this statement going, or is it more just for me?
Okay. So I know it's very early where you are, so I'm guessing you've just getting up in time for the question and answer section.
Unfortunately.
You've missed what we were talking about. So
you
might want to go back and just review, but just to give you a quick overview, your solution statement is your GPS. It's your guidance system, okay? You can use it. You can put it on your website. You can stick it in your bio. You can say to people, this is what you do, because it's much more exciting than saying that I'm a relationship coach, because then people go, well, what do I need a relationship coach for, or a love coach or whatever. It very much says what you do, but the key to it is that it helps you to design your messaging towards this person all of the time. It's your guidance system.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you watch this, when you watch the module back through, I actually go right into that as we're working through it.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you, Joe. This was helpful.
Awesome.
I appreciate it.
You're so welcome. It's brilliant to speak to you.
Thank you.
I hope to speak to you again soon. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay, Lisa, if you can click the button and drop your hand. And next we're going to Jackie. Hello, Jackie. Hello. Oh, what's happening with Jackie? Oh, no. Hi, Jackie, are you there?
Am I here?
Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Hi, how are you doing?
Okay, so listen, I think Jen really got my answered.
From
the concept that you spoke to, prior to the lady that you just spoke to. But what I wanted to ask was, when we were talking about the solution statement and the GPS and the content messaging, a lot of things came to mind, and I just started jotting down a lot of titles. Now, I know you talked about earlier in regards to, you know, we're just getting started, it's going to take us more time, and, you know, doing one a day is more beneficial than trying to, you know, bounce out 10 of them or 8 of them or whatever. But my thing is that because you were talking and, you know, the things started clicking for me, I wanted to spend some time coming up with title headlines for 4 or 5 of them prior to writing them. Now, is that going to be beneficial or no, I should just wait one day at a time?
Jackie, if you are feeling inspired, my love, then just go for it. Yeah? Do it. Get it down. But what I'm saying is, once you get past that initial, oh my God, this is so exciting, I've got loads of ideas, still write something every day. Because getting into that awesome habit will sustain your business for months and years to come.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. But if you're feeling inspired, my love, just go for it. What the hell?
I want to follow, you know, I know, you know, I want to follow the plan. I want to follow, you know, success. So I didn't want to kind of, you know, do my own thing when I'm hanging out with success, you know?
Jackie, if I'm feeling inspired, I'll write more than one. But I insist on writing one, okay?
Right.
If I write 5 today, that doesn't mean that I don't have to write one tomorrow. That's where I get concerned about it. Because you go, well, I wrote 5 today, so I don't need to write anything for the rest of the week. And then by the time you come back to it in a week's time, it's not a habit. Whereas if you write 5 today, great, but you still have to write one tomorrow and the day after and the day after. It just means you've got a bunch ahead of you just to keep you ahead of the game all the time.
Okay.
Makes sense?
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Awesome. Can I do anything else for you?
No, you're giving a lot. Let me digest this. Okay.
No problem. That was a super easy one for me. All right. You take care.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I just cut you off just a tiny second too soon. Sorry. Okay, I think that's everybody. I think we've had everybody on the line. If you haven't been on the line, do quickly stick your hand up. Before I go, I should just remind you, office hours as usual. Monday, 1 till 3 UK time, which is, oh God, I can't remember. 5 hours behind if you're Eastern, 8 hours behind if you're Pacific. God knows how many hours ahead if you're the other way. 1 till 3 GMT, let's call it that, and you can have a look and see what the time difference is. Doesn't matter when you send it, you can send it today, you can send it over the weekend, you can send it anytime you want. I will respond to it on the Monday afternoon for you, because that's when I am going to be sitting in the emails going through all your lovely stuff. Send me any messaging that you want me to have a look at. I will literally critique it, edit it for you, send you something back as best as I can, depending on what you give me to work with. Anything at all that you need some help with, just send it over and I'll have a look at it and give you some feedback on it. If you weren't able to make the call live and you're listening on replay and you have anything that comes up, then again, just feel free to reach out to me with that. Just to clarify, office hours, it is literally just email support, just for that one section of the week. And we're back next week and we're talking about packaging up your coaching. Super exciting stuff. Cannot wait to do that with you. It has been an awesome call today. I'm so thrilled that you guys all get your hands up in the air and come on and share with me. It's just wonderful to speak to you and connect with you. And I hope you all have an awesome Tuesday or evening, depending on where you are. If it's the beginning of your day, then whole day. And I look forward to speaking to you guys again soon. Oh, by the way, if you are enjoying it and you feel so inclined, I'd love it if you'd post in the Fearless Women's Circle and tell everybody how much you're getting out of it. Because it's super useful for me and it's super useful for other people to see and be inspired by you guys really taking action. Okay, so that is it for today. Have yourself an awesome rest of the day, evening, whatever. And I will see you again very, very soon. Take care. Bye-bye.